Anybody hear me?
Yes.
All right. Excellent. Well, good evening. They started the timer already, so it looks like I'm on the clock. I was kind of disappointed when Brother Ed said that we had to pick up our kids after the session today. My whole plan was to keep them here for you guys to watch, so I'm glad you prefaced that. So, well, good evening. I'm excited to have the opportunity to speak here, and it's just what a wonderful day it is where we can come, you know, together here from many different places and really be in the midst of the body of Christ, right? I mean, what a wonderful opportunity, and I'm excited to share it with all of you. And this is my first conference where I get to speak, so you guys are like the test case, so this might be the only time you get to hear me talk, right? But I am excited to get a chance to kick off the weekend because I think it's going to be a really great weekend. We have a lot of great messages, and you guys all saw the theme, right? So it's Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And we're going to hear a lot of great messages this weekend because it's going to be a lot of messages about joy, right? And there'll be examples of joy in scriptures. And you'll hear about obstacles that stand in the way of joy. You're going to hear about how to come to joy. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight. And we'll even talk about how do you really have joy in the midst of life's challenges, right? A topic that we're all confronted with. But with my time, I'd like to really kind of intro all these messages and talk a little bit about where does joy come from and how do we go about obtaining it. So with me, can you open your Bibles to Romans 8? And we'll open in a prayer. Romans 8. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we have at this conference to come together and learn about your word. We're thankful to live in a... I'll back away. We're thankful to live at a time and a place where we can come together and worship you. We value this community. We know we shouldn't take it for granted. We value the freedom that we have to come together and worship you. Thank you very much for the women and men who put this conference on. And most of all, we thank you for your son and what he did for us at the cross of Calvary. We pray for all this. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Romans 8. So as we get started, I have a question for you. Have you ever thought about what... Is it working? A little bit louder? All right. Is it working? I'll talk loud. I've never been accused of being quiet, so we'll see. But have you ever thought about what do you really want out of life? I mean, at your core, fundamentally, what do you really want? And can you think about, can you put that into one word? Can you do that? I would submit to you, if I had to put into one word what we're all seeking for, what we're all really wanting, I think fundamentally we all want to be at peace. I think, isn't that true? I mean, isn't life just such today where you're just always busy? You're always something to be frustrated with. There's always somebody doing something that maybe you don't like, right? There's always something happening that you don't totally control, that you don't maybe want to, you know, deal with, right? But fundamentally, you just all really want to be at peace, right? I mean, I know that's how I am. I spend too much time frustrated or worried about something or trying to accomplish something or angry even, sad or emotional, right? And is any of that really a surprise? No, right? Because we live on a sin-cursed earth that puts obstacles in our way, right? We are sinful creatures that put obstacles in our own way, don't we? Right? So we shouldn't be surprised by this, but this doesn't have to be our reality. We don't have to live a life where we're constantly frustrated, we're constantly worried, we're constantly, you know, not established, because Scripture talks about how we can be at peace. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And really, that peace comes from your mind, okay? Renewing and conforming your mind to the Word of God. So we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. And it has to do about spiritual things. Let's read here in Romans 8, 5, and 6 together. Romans 8, 5, and 6. These are two of my favorite verses in all of Scripture because I just find them ultimately applicable to my every single moment and every single day. Romans 8, 5, and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what?
Death.
But to be spiritually minded is life and what?
Peace.
So, if fundamentally we all want to find peace, we all want to be at peace, we don't want to have to deal with all the frustrations and problems, right? It looks like this verse may be of help, but what do we learn from this, right? If you are carnally minded, if you are earthly minded, where does that end?
Death.
Death. Not good things, not peace, right? What's your path to peace? What is it? Spiritually minded. Spiritually minded. So what we're going to talk about tonight is, if this verse is true, which, you know, as Pastor Dave would say, spoiler alert, it is, your path to peace comes from a spiritual mind. So obviously we should be talking about how do we get to have a spiritual mind. So we're going to take that on tonight. Turn with me to Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13. We'll talk a little bit more about peace. This is a fantastic verse that I think I glossed over a little bit as I studied and as I did this study out. I think it's a little bit more nuanced than I first realized. So let's read this. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So there's that word peace again, right? But it is the God of hope fills you with all joy and peace. But what happens after? What's it say? In believing. So where does peace come from? Does peace come from something that you have here on earth, something you see, something that is part of your flesh, part of your body, or is it something that has to do with heavenly places that you believe in? Or what you would say here is that you hope in, right? That you may abound in hope. The power of this verse is it really gives you clarity on how you get joy and peace. That joy and peace is something that you have established forever in heavenly places because it's been promised to you. It can't be removed. This is the difference between joy and happiness, right? I wish happiness on everybody here. I think that would be great. But guess what? You're not going to get it, right? I'm not going to get it, right? Because happiness has to do with your life circumstances. Happiness comes from the word happenstance. The root word of it is actually an old Nordic word. I looked it up this week. And it has to do with luck or happenstance. It means maybe you're happy, maybe you're not. I don't know. We'll see. It depends. I don't know about you, but I don't want my emotional state to be based on it depends. We'll see, right? I want my emotional state to be on something established forever. That is joy, right? You get that joy, like it says in this verse, based on your hope and your belief. Those things can never be taken from you. No matter what happens on this earth, you could be in a terrible circumstance. You could be dealing with horrible health problems. You could be in a situation where you're being tortured. Your hope cannot be taken from you. Your joy cannot be taken from you. Your life circumstances don't affect your joy and peace. That's what's so fantastic about these verses, and that's what we have to think about. How do we center our mind on our hope, and how do we center our mind on our belief? Okay? So that's what we're going to take on today. Let's go to one more verse here, Philippians 3. Philippians 3. A lot of good stuff in Philippians that we're going to talk about today. So Philippians 3:18. 3:18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who what? Mind earthly things. Sounds like a carnal mind, right? Mind earthly things. But now verse 20 is going to talk about us. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the ticket, all right? If you spend your time focused on you and your circumstances and earthly places, the end of that is death. The end of that is frustration. This verse would say the end of that is destruction, whose glory is your shame. If you focus on earthly things, it will not take you to joy and peace. Okay? Your focus needs to be in heavenly places, things that cannot be removed from you, things that cannot be taken from you, no matter what, right? It is promised, it is secure, it is established, because who established it? God. And what he establishes can't be removed, right? That's where our focus needs to be. So this is our challenge. Our challenge is, how do we conform our mind to more spiritual things and away from carnal? And it is a big challenge. Because think about your past week. Think about what you did. What portion of your time, honestly, was spent in spiritual places? Honestly. How much was spent in carnal places, in earthly, right? 99.99. And this is a right-dividing, dispensational group of people who care so much about it, they came across the country to come to this room, right? And we're still struggling with this central concept in Scripture, right? So the question is, you're never going to be perfect. We have things to do. We live on the earth, right? Some of our time is going to be carnally minded. The challenge we all have is, how do we mine more of it out? How do we find more time to be spiritually minded? How do we purpose it? And we'll talk about that a little bit today. Go to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. As we take on that challenge, I think it's healthy to remind yourself of your real circumstance, because really you're not alone. And the key way to take on this huge challenge is, you should not be resting on yourself. You should rest on Christ. Lean on him, okay? And you've all read these verses, but I think it's helpful to structure this message with it. So start in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in what? In weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When you take this challenge on to have a spiritual mind, it is going to be frustrating, right? Because we're going to immediately have a carnal mind, and it's not going to work out well for us, right? What we need to do is be okay with that shortcoming, right? We need to be okay with those issues, because we need to learn to rest in Christ. If your focus is on him, if you're leaning on him, if your trust is in him, you do have a spiritual mind. So this is just kind of a caveat to start it. That needs to be our focus as we begin. Go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. I think another foundational point here, as we set this up, is that you need to understand what your mind is apart from the Word of God. Because your mind, apart from the Word of God, is a pathway to sin. Isn't it? I mean, our pastor, Pastor Dave, sometimes said, imagine science made a machine that could tape your thoughts for a week. And then we'll put it up here, and we'll just play it for everybody to listen to it. Would you like that? Right? No, you wouldn't, right? Because your mind is really not a healthy place, is it? I know sometimes we talk about, oh, our children, they need to explore their imaginations and use their mind and create. Ooh, that's dangerous, right? That's very dangerous. Your mind is a pathway to sin apart from the Word of God. Amen. Conform to the Word of God, your mind is a pathway to Christ. Or with the Word of God. Did I say that right? You know what I meant. All right. Let's read Ephesians 2:3. Among who also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and what? And of the mind. End of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 17. Ephesians 4, 17. Therefore, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Colossians 1, 21. Colossians 1, 21. Colossians 1:21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Your mind can be a pathway to wicked works. Your mind can be a pathway to vanity. Your mind can be a pathway to fulfilling the lust of the flesh and of the mind, right? Your challenge, my challenge, all of our challenges, how do we find a way to conform our mind to the Word of God? Go with me to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. So, we know we need a spiritual mind. We know we need to lean on Christ and not ourselves. We know the mind can be a dangerous place, a pathway to sin. But God gave us a sound mind. And how do we know that? We know that from this verse, 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Where does that sound mind exist? In that book, right? In that book. God gave you a sound mind. Do not be unconfident as you approach this, right? You have the tools you need to be spiritually minded. You have the tools you need to come to joy and peace. Okay? So, I guess the question at this point now is, great, how do I do it? How do we obtain the spiritual mind? How do we get on this pathway to joy and peace? And to do that, I want to take on five themes. So as I took this study on, it seemed like there was five themes or five central concepts that came into existence. So I wrote those here. I know my wife will make fun of my terrible penmanship, but that's about as good as it's ever going to get. But then I drew like a awkward trapezoid for you there, so sorry. I was pretty proud of the writing, so. Okay, so the first one is focus. Focus. This has to do is, what are you focused on? Are you focused on the earth, or are you focused on Christ? The second one is renewing your mind. This is conforming your mind to the will of God. Conforming your mind to the will of God. Putting off your old man and your earthly desires, okay? The third one is walk in the Spirit. This has to do about redeeming the time. You know this verse, right? Redeeming the time. We're talking about a concept of paying God first. And think about, how do you invest more of your time in spiritual things? Invest more of your time in spiritual things, not earthly. Not earthly. The fourth is forgiveness. And this is a tough one. This is a tough one. Your mind can be clouded by emotion, by anger, by problems in relationships. The challenge here is, how do you be an active practitioner of forgiveness? An active practitioner of forgiveness. And it's hard, but you can do it. And why can you do it? You got it. Because you've been forgiven for way more than you'll ever be asked to forgive. Right? That powers it. It isn't because you're a nice guy and you're just so good at forgiving. No. You do it because you have the perspective that you've already been forgiven. And fifth is the mind of Christ. This is the other hard one, in my opinion. This centers around not focusing on you. Having a perspective of humility and a focus on other people. Okay? And by the way, spoiler alert, that was the mind of Christ. Okay, so let's take each of these on. Let's study the verses, the scriptures that were kind of under each of these themes. So first one's focus. So I believe to be spiritually minded, one of your first steps is you need to be honest with yourself. You need to take an honest accounting of what is your focus really on? How much of your time is really purposed in spiritual things? And I think it's tough, right? I think it's tougher now than ever before because we live in a busy world, right? I mean, I just think about my last week. I mean, the travels that I've been on, all the work that I have to do. I have an hour drive back and forth to work. I got two little babies, right? There's stuff to do. I'm up at 2 a.m. trying to take care of me. Your life is busy, right? And it's going to focus you to things that are of this earth, which, by the way, is going to bring you frustrations. It's going to be focused on things you want on the earth, your flesh desires, right? Things that you don't have, things that you want to have but don't. Maybe something that somebody's done to you. But your focus really needs to be more on, what have you been given by Christ in heavenly places? What are you thankful for? And really, how do you focus on what you're going to have forever? Your hope, okay? Open up with me to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 8. Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of what? Peace shall be with you. So what do we learn here? It said, think on these things. Think's another word for your mind, right? And what's the end of this? God of peace will be with you, right? But what are these things? Things that are true. Things that are lovely. Things that are of good rapport. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what are these things in your life, really? These are spiritual things, aren't they? These are things of Christ, right? Let me ask a question. How much of your day is focused on those things? Honestly. I'm not saying it's none, but it's not enough, right? Because we're focused on all the things that we need to do, that we want, that we don't have. Well, what's happened, right? That's not what this scripture is talking about. And then our focus is not going to end in peace, as it says right here. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4, 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look at the things, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What a great piece of scripture, isn't it? Ultimately true. Your time on this earth is short. It is a blink of an eye. Is a flicker of light. How long is eternity? It's a while, right? Right, it's a while. But our time on this earth is focused on earthly things. It's focused on the moment. It's focused on the things that are temporal that are going to pass away. Our challenge is, how do we focus and invest it in things that are going to last forever, right? I mean, how unfortunate is that we spent part of our life focused on the flesh, right? Focused on these bodies, which just won't be here in a minute, right? It doesn't last. It doesn't come with you, right? It's nothing. It's nothing that's permanent, right? We need to have our focus on things that'll last. Your focus needs to be on the wonderful truths you have in Christ. The wonderful truths you have in Christ. Let's open up to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. When you read through the Pauline epistles, and if you take a perspective of what are things that have been given to you right now, you will be writing a very long list. There's a lot of truths that you have in your life as present possessions right now. Right now. We're going to talk about a couple of these here. These are the things that you need to focus on. These are the things that you need to really center in your heart. Ephesians 1:3, we'll start there. 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Is that some? That's all, right? Let's go to Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Who's the beloved? It's Christ. You were accepted in the beloved. Go with me to Colossians 1:20. Colossians 1:20. Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things on the earth or things in heaven. You've been given peace with God by the blood of the cross. Colossians 2:10, right after it. Colossians 2:10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We'll do one more. Titus 1:2. Titus 1:2. Doing a little Bible aerobics tonight. Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. We just read a few verses, and what did we learn? We learned that God has promised us eternal life, that we are complete in his Son. We are accepted in the Beloved. That means when God looks at us, he sees his Son, despite our sinfulness, right? We have peace with God through the blood of the cross. And we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Guys, if this doesn't motivate us, I don't know what will. This is what needs to be our focus. Not the things that we need, not the things we have to do at work. I don't know what you do for your job, but I work on like Excel spreadsheets and PowerPoints and stuff. It's pretty boring, right? I'm not going to remember that in heaven, right? I have to do it. It's appropriate for me to work. My focus, what I treasure, needs to be in the things that we just talked about, the things that are permanent, the things that are real, the things that are truly impactful in my life, right? That's where your focus needs to lie. So, the first concept here, there's a lot more truths that you can study through the Pauline epistles, but it really matters what your focus is on. And we need to be good at being accountable for what is our mind focused on. What are we really working on? What are we thinking about? Okay, so that's the first concept. Go with me to Romans 12. Romans 12. Romans 12 is just fantastic, by the way. Just fantastic. The second concept is renewing your mind. In the end, apart from this book, you will never, ever win the battle of your mind. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we're all in a battle of our mind, aren't we? Whether we like it or not, we have a battle going on every single day, every single moment. Read Romans 7, right? Paul was too. We all are because we're in these earthly bodies, right? We're not apart from our carnal state, right? So we're constantly in the battle for our mind. And we never cease to be in this carnal world. This book is our one and only tool to fight this battle. Do not rely on yourself. Do not rely on your mind. Don't rely on your strength, right? Rely on Christ. This is enough for you right here to take this on, right? This is your path to fighting this battle of your mind. Reading it will help you move away from your old man and into the light to conform yourself to the will of God. Let's read Romans 12, 2. I know we all know it. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your challenge is to renew your mind in the Word of God. Right? It's all of our challenge, right? The challenge for us is how do we purpose it? How do we actually do it? We've all spent time away from it, right? We've all spent days where we don't read. How do you feel we don't read for a day? How do you feel we don't read for a week? How do you feel we don't read for a month, right? We've all been there, you know? You're thirsty, right? You're hungry. What happens when you're in this book? How do you feel, right? It's a completely different world because your mind is renewed, right? You are becoming spiritually minded, right? You're fulfilled. You're established. Go with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. We'll read through a couple verses here. Your challenge when you're renewing your mind is getting away from your old man. Putting off your old man and moving on to your new creation, that one that is with Christ. Ephesians 4:22 is where we'll start. 4:22-24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I'll read a couple other ones real quick. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. And one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We are not who we used to be. We are not our old man, but sometimes we act like him, don't we? Right? Our challenge is how do we put that away? How do we really walk to our new man and let our present state motivate us? Because our present state, what we read here in Galatians 2:20, is we're crucified with Christ. That old man, that's gone. But we still live, but we don't live by ourselves, right? We live with Christ. Amen. Read 1 Corinthians. We have the Spirit. You have Christ in you. That should motivate you to walk in the Spirit. That should motivate you to stay away from sin, because when you do sin, you take him with you, right? Now, we're all going to do it every single day. I get it, right? But it should still motivate us, right? How do we really have that perspective by renewing our mind that we can put off our old man and really walk to the new? Because the new is wonderful, right? Because it's with Christ. It's with Christ. So, second step here is really how do you renew your mind? How do you center yourself on Scripture? All right, third up there in that just wonderful handwriting. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Let's talk about what it means to walk in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. There's a lot of information in this in Galatians 5 and in Ephesians 5. Let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. We'll read a little bit here. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We're obviously talking about fruits of the Spirit here. Go with me to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 9. Ephesians 5, 9. Ephesians 5, 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be yet not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things under God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. These are some fantastic verses for us to think about. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? A lot of stuff here was talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Also told you about stuff that you should not be doing if you're walking in the Spirit. I mean, some of what we just learned about is we should not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We should reprove works of darkness. We should be filled with and practice the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. We need to understand what the will of God is for us. We need to give thanks in all things, have a spirit of thankfulness. And we all have so much to be thankful for, don't we? Right. I mean, just think the fact that we have this community right here, right? That's something to be ultimately thankful for. Think about how many people around the world don't have access to this type of community, to learn these types of things, right? How fantastic is it? I mean, how fantastic I could bring my children here to meet other children who want to have a will to learn this stuff, right? It's fantastic. Sing to yourself in spiritual hymns and songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord and being thankful for Him, right? It's a spirit of thankfulness too, right? Submitting yourself one to another sounds kind of like long-suffering to me, and fear the Lord out of respect. But in the end, I really like one part of Ephesians 5. It talks about redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Because we talked before, we all have this time of what's our mind going to be centered on. And it could be centered on carnal things, or it could be centered on spiritual things, right? We need to redeem the time to focus it on spiritual things. And I think a lot of this comes down to prioritization. I know when I started my work world, I was told a piece of advice about my retirement. It said, pay yourself first. And that means when you get your paycheck, don't go out and pay your rent and pay your car bill and buy all the things you want to buy, then say, oh, I need to do some saving. Because guess what? What do? you don't save anything, do you? You've spent all your money. The same principle can be, what you need to do is you need to say, okay, great, I'm going to save this much first, and then I'm going to pay all my bills and do all the stuff I need to do, and then my standard of living will be with what's left, right? That same principle can apply to your spiritual life, right? The question I have for you is, how can you pay God first? How can you pay God first? And what I mean by that is it's really about prioritization. How do you prioritize? How do you purpose your time in the Spirit? Okay? How do you think about, how am I going to prioritize how to renew my mind? How am I going to purpose to make my focus on the things that are good, that are lovely, that are of good rapport, that are of praise or virtue, right? How do I purpose to study? How do I purpose to have opportunities to teach, to tell somebody about this stuff, right? This concept's worthy of your reflection because, again, our time is short. Let's go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. And my time is short up here, it appears. 14 minutes. You just get excited a little bit talking about this stuff, right? 1 Peter 1, verse 24. 1 Peter 1, 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by the gospel is preached unto you. Here is our truth. Our truth is just like this, right? Our body, it's like grass. Anything we do in our body, anything that's good from our flesh is like a flower. But what happens to a flower? As soon as it's winter, it's gone, right? That's just like our life, right? Whatever we do carnally here, it's going to go right away, right? I mean, I know I've had things in my life I've been all excited about. I did something at work, and I worked so hard. I mean, hours, hundreds of hours on it, right? A year later, nobody even cares. It's just some little thing on a shelf that somebody forgot about. I mean, I've worked on projects before, left, come back, they got done, and people tell me all about them. Oh, guess what just happened? Like, yeah, I'm aware. It was my project for like 3 years, right? You know? It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. It's all going to go away. Anything that happens on the earth, anything that happens in our flesh and our body is going to go away. We need to invest our time in things that have permanence, right? And we know what they are. They're in this book, right? We need to govern our mind to focus on those things. It's redeeming the time, right? 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are compromised, say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Right? Who cares about this body, right? I mean, wouldn't it be great if I didn't get to finish my sermon here? Amen. You know? It'd be fantastic. I mean, I want an apple fritter tomorrow morning. I'm not going to lie, you know. But if I didn't get to finish, I'd be okay with that. They might have those. We need to have the perspective that our time on this planet is small. Our time in heaven is forever. That means you can be long-suffering here. I mean, I know it feels tough here, right? Because you don't always have the perspective. I don't. I'm like, ugh, this person is driving me nuts, right? But it's only going to be so long. So you can be long-suffering. You can deal with tough relationships because just in a minute, we'll be hanging out together in heaven, right? Fourth, forgiveness in 11 minutes. So a key way to walk in the Spirit is to be a frequent practitioner of forgiveness, right? Because you've lived on this planet for more than 4 minutes, right? So you know how important forgiveness is, right? Because somebody probably did something to you on the drive over that made you angry, right? Your life's full of somebody doing something to you, right? Somebody being unjust with you. Somebody being unfair with you. Doing something that could actually hurt you, right? That's undeserved. And, you know, our flesh says, I want to deal with that, right? I want justice. I didn't deserve that. I don't deserve to be treated this way. Why is that person doing that to me, right? But, like we said at the beginning, here's the ticket. You don't have to get forgiveness because you're just so cool and you're just so nice and you can do it. You can do it because your mind is spiritually focused and centered on what Christ did for you. Because guess what? We are sinners like everybody else, right? Which means every sin we've ever committed, Christ sat on the cross and felt God's wrath for that sin. And just think about your sins, right? I'm running out of fingers quickly, right? It's a lot, right? So that's a painful reality to think about, right? That our Savior was on the cross dealing God's wrath for what we did. That means that when Bill at work does something to you you don't like, you just need to be long-suffering about it, right? Because what Christ did for you is so much greater, is so much more. Let's read Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Start in verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted. What's it say? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Interesting that that was right after that, huh? It's one of the best verses on forgiveness in the Pauline epistles, in my opinion, right? You can forgive because of Christ. Go with me to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. God knows our challenges, right? He knows we need to rest on Him. We can rest on Him because we focus on the forgiveness we have in Him. Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgive because Christ forgave you, right? Extra tip on this stuff too. In forgiveness, in relationship type things, always be careful with your words. Always be careful with your words. I did a relationship study and we talked a lot about words. So just another free one in there. Romans 5:8. I'll just read this one because you know it. But God commandeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's a simple concept, people, right? If your mind is spiritually focused, if my mind is spiritually focused, we are focused on what Christ did for us. That powers our forgiveness, right? If we're carnally focused and we're focused on all the things that we deserve, all the things that we need, then it's going to be pretty hard to forgive, or it's going to run out pretty quick, right? Make sure you powered your forgiveness. You powered it from the only source, okay? All right, last concept, mind of Christ, mind of Christ. Paul talks a lot about the mind. When he talks about the mind, he talks a lot about having one mind, or he talks about having the same mind. Do you know the verses I'm talking about? Having one mind, right? And that we have the mind of Christ. And I think it's important to know that we can have the mind of Christ. And I think this has a lot to do with the fact that we have the Word, right? We can be focused on the Word and then focused in the Spirit. And really, that has a lot to do with living a life of humility. Living a life of humility, because what we're going to learn is that's what Christ did. And what that fundamentally means is you are not focused on who? You. Ooh, that's hard. That's hard, right? No matter how good you are, there's opportunity there, isn't there? Right? It's hard not to be focused on you because you're you. You're dealing with all that stuff all the time, right? But we're going to learn from what Christ was, is he wasn't focused on himself. He was focused on the things of others in humbleness of mind. That helps you walk in the Spirit. Let's go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. When I read these verses the first time, they really made an impact on me. Really made an impact on me. Philippians 2, 2 to 5. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. That's the same thing as the same mind or the one mind. That ye may be like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Let not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which what? Was also in Christ Jesus. That was the part of the verse when I read the first time. I was like, what? So the mind of Christ is one of lowliness of mind, esteeming others better than himself, looking not onto his own things, but every man on the own things of others, right? The mind of Christ is one of humility, of humbleness, of lowliness, not esteeming oneself, right? And this is a tough thing to do. Go to Romans 12 again. Romans 12 again. Romans 12:16. There's another same mind verse right here in Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, lowliness of mind again, right? But condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Again, humbleness. We don't have time, so I'm just going to read Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Your mind, the concept that goes along with your mind, same as mind of Christ, is one of humility, of humbleness. All right? And if you're focused on yourself, it's not happening. Right? That's not where humbleness comes from. Finally, we'll do 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. There's some more peace verses right there. It has to do with your mind. Being of that one mind. Where does that one mind come from? How do we have one mind? It comes from this book, right? That's how you have one mind, because it's written down for you to go look at and read, right? That's how we can have one mind. It doesn't mean that we all think about stuff and then we come to the same conclusion, right? It's because we read in this book and we have the mind of Christ, which is one of humility, right? Not focusing on us, focusing on others. Okay, so those are the five concepts right there. But remember, joy and peace are gifts. Right, they are gifts God's given to you. Right, you can have joy and peace. All you need to do is to push away your carnal mind and bring your mind into the subjection of the Lord, to have a spiritual mind. And it's hard, but it is a gift that's given on to you, right? Because what is a carnal mind? A carnal mind is you focused, right? A carnal mind is all about you. A spiritual mind is not you focused, right? It is Christ focused. Is that really that different in how you're saved? Right? I mean, how are you saved? Are you saved by what you do? Nope, right? You're not saved by anything that you do. It's all what Christ did, right? Having joy and peace in your life comes from focusing not on you, but focusing on what Christ did. Focusing on the needs of others, right? That helps you. That helps bring you to peace. It's no different than how you came to salvation. It's no different than how you got saved, right? We can do this, right? We're the perfect groom to accomplish it, even though it's hard, right? But you have to rest in Christ, not in you. Don't be afraid of your shortcomings, your issues, your problems. Rest in Christ. Lean on Him. A mind carnally focused can be a pathway to sin, to problems, right? But a mind that is spiritually minded is a path to peace, right? So think about, you know, these, hopefully you wrote down some verses, but really, you know, think about what you're focused on, right? Be accountable for that. Renew your mind. Conform it to the will of God. Walk in the Spirit. This has to do with redeeming your time, right? Purposing it. Prioritizing. How do you pay God first? Don't let the course of this world take your time. I do this too much, right? I wake up late. I have to get to work. I look at my email first. I got all this stuff to do. Before I know it, my day's over, and I didn't purpose it to spiritual things, right? How do you redeem it and purpose it to the Lord? How do you pay God first, right? We need to be active petitioners of forgiveness, even though it's hard, right? But should it be, right? It shouldn't be, because we need to focus our mind in spiritual places on what Christ has done for us. That can power our forgiveness, and we can have the mind of Christ, which is one of humility, which is one that is focused on others. I mean, these concepts are simple, people, right? I mean, we've read this stuff before, right? We've studied this stuff before, but boy, is it hard to implement, isn't it? It is hard not to have a carnal mind. I think it's harder and harder all the time. I mean, I read a stat. We are indoctrinated with more data in 1 year than somebody in the 1930s would have had in their entire life. So 1 year, you're hearing more news, more words, more texts, more emails, more articles than somebody would have had in their entire life. And this isn't somebody in the 1500s, right? This is somebody in the modern age. It is difficult to get out of this carnal world. You need to purpose it to get out of the flow. Because who runs the flow, right? Who runs the course of this world? We have to be careful. We have to redeem the time. We have to work together and purpose our time to get out of it. But guess what? Uh-oh, Satan, we got the right tool, right? We got the right tool, so use it, right? We live in a sin-cursed earth. Everyone around us has their share of earthly problems. We make our own share of earthly problems, right? whether their health or financial or relationship, no matter what we're struggling with this on this earth, we need to keep in mind the truth. The truth is joy and peace are possible always. But they don't come from this place.
Amen.
They don't come from this place. They come from your focus on Christ in heavenly places. And you're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places right now. Let that power you. You are complete in Him. You are accepted in the Beloved. No matter how bleak your outlook is, no matter how bad it gets, we can always rejoice in the Lord. And that joy cannot be taken away from us. That was pretty close to the end, right? If we have a spiritual mind, in the end, we can be confident in joy and peace. Let us glory in that truth. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much that we can study your word together and help each other. Let our mind be focused on you in the spirit and not in carnal places. We're very thankful that you've given us the gift of joy and the gift of peace. And we know it's completely possible in line with your mind and in your word. We're very thankful for your son and everything you did for this. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen.